Good afternoon for WRCO News. I'm Bo Henricks, and we just wrapped up a busy morning, a day for Passages, as we had members from Passages on the radio, some powerful stories dealing with domestic violence and sexual assault. While it is a tough conversation to have, it's a very important one. And joining me right now is WRCO's Phil Nee as we take a look at some of the money raised during the morning. Thanks for joining me, Phil.
You're welcome, and thanks to everybody who was a part of it, maybe even considered bidding today. We'll get about that a little bit later on, but we want to thank all the bidders. And it looks like the morning total, with everything added in, including a $200 final bid for an hour, guest hour on those were the days, we were at $2,000.
Hey, so, that's awesome.
Even. $2,000. Yeah, we were just a little bit short. One of the Passages volunteers said, let's make it an even number. So they threw in a few dollars at the end there to get it up to $2,000. So it was a very successful morning. And I hope just getting the information out there was successful as well. And the Passages board and everybody that was here wants to point out, if you didn't get a chance to give this morning, that's fine. But maybe keep them in mind in the future. You can find all of their information on their website. Their address is there. We even had someone call here in the last few minutes and said they've got an estate sale, basically, and they want to give some from that. So they've got like a couple of dressers. They've got some clothes that might come in handy. So maybe be thinking about that in the future. If you've got a few things that maybe are in good shape, but you think could get some good use at Passages, they'll take those kind of donations too. So not only monetary, we talked about people volunteering and giving of their time. They're going to be putting up a outdoor shed in the future this summer. And we're going to get the information on that so we can tell you when that is. So they'd like to have six or seven from the community go out and just make it really quick work and put that shed up when the materials arrive for that. So there are some other opportunities coming up here in the future, and you can go to the Passages website and Facebook to find out more information. Thanks to everybody who bid this morning. And again, $2,000, that's not bad for the morning and the time that we put in. And thanks to everybody that was a part of it. I know Henry Bray was wrangling up a few people as well. So it all counts in the final number.
And like you said, donations come in many different shapes and sizes. Money's always great and it helps out, but this is a year-round thing. You know, Passages is always helping out people. And in this kind of a situation, yeah, manual labor, maybe some items that can help those who have to use the services is also very welcome.
And food, cans of food. I know some area schools do that. They do that generally during the school year. So don't forget about Passages in the summer as well. Maybe some food donations. You can check with them to see what basically they would need.
Sounds good. And again, check the website if you want to get in contact with them, and they can, you know, direct you from there.
Exactly. Thanks All again right. to everybody. Thanks to you, Bo.
Thank you, Phil. An Iowa County traffic stop during the early overnight hours on Monday led to an arrest. An Iowa County Sheriff's deputy conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle on U.S. Highway 151 in the township of Mineral Point. Subsequent to an investigation, the operator, Kristen Chandler, age 30, was arrested for possession of methamphetamine, possession of drug paraphernalia to manufacture, compound, convert, produce, and store methamphetamine, maintain drug trafficking place, and felony bail jumping. After a hectic week for severe weather in Wisconsin, the Journal Sentinel reports that Wisconsin's four National Weather Service stations declared 92 different tornado warnings from Monday through Friday of last week. Most warnings were from the agency's Milwaukee station, which issued 43 warnings. The La Crosse station declared 35 warnings, with 26 warnings on Friday alone, adding up to the most in a single day in the office's 29-year history. The Weather Service confirmed at least 13 tornadoes touched down in the state Friday, with 8 in southeast Wisconsin, 3 in western Wisconsin, and 2 in Marathon County. The strongest were EF3s that touched down in the Buffalo County community of Cream and the town of Ringle in Marathon County. Final touchdown confirmations aren't expected to be complete until Tuesday. The state's climatology office says, on average, Wisconsin gets 23 tornadoes every year. A two-vehicle accident occurred in Grand County causing injuries. Thursday morning, April 16th, the Grand County Sheriff's Office was notified of the accident involving an SUV and a semi hauling an enclosed trailer on Highway 81 near the intersection of Cadwell Road in Cassville Township. Deputies and emergency responders were dispatched to the scene. When deputies arrived, they learned Kevin Bausch, 59, of rural Casanova, was operating his semi on Highway 81 after turning east off Cadwell Road. Chelsea Shea, age 44, also of rural Cassville, was traveling east on Highway 81 in her vehicle. Both vehicles were operating at speeds well under the posted speed limit, but the weather conditions caused a heavy fog. Due to the fog, Shea did not see Bausch's semi and crashed into the back of the trailer, causing disabling damage to her SUV. Shea was transported by Cassville EMS to Grant Regional Health Center in Lancaster for non-life-threatening injuries. A juvenile passenger in the SUV was not injured, and Bausch was also not injured. The Grant County Shea was issued citations for operator not wearing a safety belt and for her passenger not wearing a safety belt. Today, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin will force the Senate to vote on her war powers resolution to end the war in Iran. The vote comes just one day after the fragile and crumbling ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran expires. Tensions are rising in the Strait of Hormuz and after the U.S. boarded and seized an Iranian ship in recent days. Iran has closed off traffic in the strait while U.S. troops remain in harm's way, blocking Iranian ports. After the war began, Senators Baldwin, Cory Booker, Tim Kaine, Chris Murphy, Adam Schiff, and Tammy Duckworth all introduced separate war power resolutions, which, if passed, would halt the war in Iran and require the administration receive congressional approval to resume it. The resolutions are privileged, meaning they can be brought to the Senate floor for a vote by any senator after 10 calendar days of filing. The group of senators has pledged to keep debating and voting on the war powers resolutions until there are public hearings. April is National Financial Literacy Month. Financial literacy is a person's ability to understand and manage money. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has put out a challenge. Michelle Reinen is with DADCAP.
DADCAP has put a challenge out there for Wisconsin consumers to boost their financial literacy by taking advantage of some of the consumer protection resources we have available. And the first resource is to just read DADCAP's Consumer Guide. This is a 40-plus page booklet, a trusted source of information on common consumer issues and scams. We've made it easy. It can be downloaded from consumerguide.wi.gov or ordered from our consumer protection hotline, and we'll mail out a copy. And then another thing people can do as a challenge is just attend a consumer protection presentation. We deliver hundreds of educational presentations to Wisconsin communities and organizations every year. So you can visit our website to see if there's an upcoming presentation in your area. And these are all free. So it's a great way to engage in your community as well as learn about those scams and fraud circulating.
DADCAP would be happy to have a presentation in your community.
They are in person. We go out to the various communities, so attend one. And if you don't have one in your area and you belong to an organization that could host us, go ahead and request a presentation and we'll make arrangements to be there.
You can find out more about how to contact DADCAP for a presentation at datcp.wi.gov. If you've been the victim of a scam, you can contact DATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov. In April, the American Red Cross asks you to keep patients top of mind by making an appointment to give blood or platelets. Regular donors of all blood types and those looking to give the first time are encouraged to make days brighter this spring for those in need. Three opportunities to give will be held, the first being today from now until 2 at the Baraboo High School. There will be two Red Cross blood drives held Friday. One will be at Lafarge High School from 11 to 4, and the other will be at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Baraboo from 11 to 5. Join the celebration of saving lives by booking a time to give blood or platelets now by visiting redcrossblood.org, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction announced today 95 schools statewide have earned Schools of Recognition honors. The awards celebrate exceptional efforts of educators, students, families, and school staff in ensuring educational success for all students, especially among those facing economic challenges. Launched in 2003, the Schools of Recognition program recognizes Title I schools for making significant strides in student growth and achievement. These schools demonstrate what strong teaching, supportive families and communities, and a shared commitment to all learners can achieve, State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underly said. Their work reflects a deep investment in student learning and well-being, and I am proud to recognize their continued leadership and impact across the state. Area schools that were honored include Riverdale Junior High, Boscobel Elementary, Windskill Elementary in Lancaster, Bluffview Middle School in Prairie du Chien District, Seneca Junior High, and Wazika Elementary. More information on Schools of Recognition can be found on the DPI's website. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources invites the public to make a lasting impact during the month of April by participating in a Work, Play, Earth Day event. Annually, Wisconsinites have several opportunities to celebrate Earth Day on Wednesday, April 22nd, through acts of service and outdoor recreation at Wisconsin State Parks, Forest, Trail, and Recreation areas. Earth Day was founded in 1970 by Wisconsin Native Governor Gaylord Nelson to raise awareness about air and water pollution. Earth Day is observed around the globe and is commemorated as a full month of recognition, stewardship, and celebration of the natural environment. At Work, Play, Earth Day events, the public can participate in family-friendly activities that help enhance public lands. These events lead to lasting enhancements, increased awareness, and continued support for the Wisconsin State Park System. In past years, nearly 1,500 volunteers logged 4,131 hours of service. Work, Play, Earth Day activities happening around the state include tree planting, installing benches, removing invasive plants, painting picnic tables and other structures, raking and cleaning up leaves, and picking up litter. Hours may vary by event, with most beginning mid-morning and running through early afternoon. Following service projects, volunteers are encouraged to stay, play, and enjoy the great outdoors. Most Work, Play, Earth Day events do not require registration for individuals or small groups, unless otherwise noted on the DNR events calendar. Outgoing Viroqua Mayor Justin Running told WRCO News he is proud of the 4 years he served his hometown as its mayor. Running focused on economic development during his time in office, helping to bring affordable housing and the Hanson Farm development, which will add 100 housing units to the city. Running summarized, saying, "Viroqua and Richland Center are facing the same challenges. We have bigger bills to pay, and we know we have two choices. Raise taxes on the people we've got, or get growth to bring in more people to help pay for things." Running believes Viroqua could comfortably sustain a population of 6,000 to 7,000 people without needing a significant investment in additional infrastructure. Running cited the Eckhart Playground as the most challenging issue Viroqua faced in its two terms, saying people are drawn to what it has been. There are strong feelings, but we had to make it safe and sustainable. It wasn't easy, but we were able to reach a point where people came together and found a way. On economic development in a small city, Running added, "The demands are growing. Bills have gotten much bigger. But there are always varied opinions, and you can't give everyone what they want. It's definitely challenging, but you have to remind yourself it's either get growth or taxes have to go up." Running, born and raised in Viroqua, expressed extreme gratitude to the voters for granting him the opportunity to serve. April is Alcohol Awareness Month, a time to raise awareness and encourage informed choices about alcohol use. In Richland County, alcohol is often part of social life, from community events to local fundraisers that support important causes, including helping individuals and families impacted by cancer. These efforts reflect the strong sense of care, generosity, and connection in our community. At the same time, research shows that alcohol use is linked to an increased risk of several cancers, including breast, liver, mouth, throat, esophagus, and colon cancers. The National Cancer Institute notes that even moderate alcohol use can increase risk for some cancers. Many people are surprised to learn about the connection between alcohol and cancer, said Evan Ewing, president of the Partners for Prevention of Richland County. This month is about sharing information in a way that respects our community while helping people make informed choices. That information doesn't come with expectations of perfection. Instead, it encourages small, practical steps, such as spacing out drinks, choosing alcohol-free options, or taking occasional breaks from drinking. Our community does an incredible job supporting those affected by cancer, Evan Ewing added. Raising awareness about prevention is another way we can care for one another. For more tips and resources, you can visit the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project or the Partners for Prevention website. The Wisconsin Technical College System celebrated its 2026 class of student ambassadors at a special banquet held in Wisconsin Dells. The annual event recognized outstanding students from across the state who exemplify leadership, perseverance, and academic excellence while preparing for in-demand careers. WTCS provides comprehensive education and workforce training that empowers students and employers to thrive amid innovation and workplace transformation, helping drive economic vitality in communities throughout Wisconsin. Each year, one student from each of Wisconsin's 16 technical colleges is selected to serve as a WTCS student ambassador, representing the system and its students statewide. Following a day and a half of team building and leadership development activities, this year's ambassadors were honored at a banquet attended by family members, college and system leaders, legislators, and other invited guests. During the event, students receive an award and scholarship and shared powerful stories of determination, resilience, and personal success. Throughout the celebration, a common theme emerged. Technical college graduates develop not only strong technical skills, but also the critical thinking, creativity, and teamwork abilities that allow them to balance career success, family responsibilities, and community leadership. The students will officially serve as WTCS student ambassadors for 1 year, and unofficially for a lifetime. WTCS President Layla Merrifield addressed the students during the program, commending them for their achievements and leadership potential. Advanced care planning is not an easy conversation, but having your medical wishes in writing can make life better for you and less complicated for your family. Denise Nicholson is the Advanced Care Planning Program Manager for Gunderson.
It's not an easy conversation to have. People don't think it's ever going to happen to them. I think the other thing is that when we see articles about advanced care planning, they talk about it end of life. They talk about it 65 or older. But at any given time, 18 and above, we could have a medical emergency, a medical accident or illness, and someone's no longer able to make their own medical decisions. So I like to refer to it more as how do I want to live, not so much how do I want to die.
Everyone over the age of 18, the legal age of majority, should consider how you'd like to be cared for should you no longer be able to make your own medical decisions.
Well, it's a conversation. So in our advanced care planning clinic, we make those appointments, which are free, for an hour. We have a conversation. We want to know the individual's goals and values. And then we take that valuable information and put it into the advanced care planning document that identifies their goals and values and what's important to them. So I would say from beginning to end, an hour.
Amplify Health by Gunderson encourages advanced care planning as a proactive process for reflecting on, discussing, and documenting your healthcare preferences for future situations when you may be unable to make your own decisions. Contact Gunderson or your local healthcare provider to schedule an advanced care planning session. Preventing polio through immunization can protect the public from the threat of contracting polio. The polio vaccine is one of the greatest public health achievements, protecting against a paralyzing and potentially life-threatening virus that once struck fear in the hearts of parents prior to the advent of the vaccine back in 1955. Since 1988, Rotary and its partners in the Global Polio Eradication Initiative have reduced polio cases by 99.9% worldwide, sparing more than 20 million people from paralysis. For many years, the Rotary Club of Richland County has helped fund the Rotary International Polio Plus program with a goal to eliminate polio throughout the world. Although some may view polio immunization as optional for themselves or their children because it isn't circulating where they live, or they don't deem the infection to be life-threatening, history has shown that polio doesn't respect borders, and the consequences for those who contract and survive polio may be profound and permanent. Sadly, in 2022, the U.S. saw its first case of polio in decades in a community with low immunization rates. During World Immunization Week, the Richland County Rotary Club encourages you and your family members to be fully immunized against polio. Learn more about progress in the global fight to end polio at endpolio.org. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin announced on Monday that Governor Tony Evers proclaimed April as Safe Digging Month, raising awareness of the simple measures Wisconsinites can take to keep their communities safe this digging season. The PSC would like to remind residents and contractors to always contact the Diggers Hotline by phone at 811 or online at www.diggershotline.com before they dig. The Diggers Hotline is a free statewide one-call system that allows the general public and professionals undertaking excavation to inform multiple utility and telecommunication providers of planned excavation. The one-call center alerts the appropriate underground facility owners that they can dispatch locators to mark the appropriate locations of underground facilities with paint, stakes, or flags. Then it is safe to dig around the marked locations. Under the state law, individuals are required to notify the Diggers Hotline at least 3 days before they excavate, grade, trench, dig, drill, auger, tunnel, scrape, and or plow or drive cable or pipes. Once the locations are marked, an 18-inch buffer zone must be maintained on each side of a marked facility, and mechanized equipment cannot be used within the buffer zone. Violations of state law can be reported to the Diggers Hotline Enforcement Center. If probable cause of a violation is found, a panel of Digger Hotline stakeholders will decide between education or a referral to the PSC. If the case is referred to the PSC, an investigation will determine if there was a violation of the law and subsequent fines or legal action. Also, a woman has died in a boating accident on Lake Geneva over the weekend when police in the village of Fontana were dispatched to Gordy Marine's Friday night for a water rescue. An investigation found that the 57-year-old woman fell off her boat while trying to dock it and got caught in the boat's propeller. Though first responders freed her from the propeller, she passed away at the scene. The driver of the boat is cooperating with authorities. Alcohol is not believed to be a factor in the woman's death. The DNR joining police and the Walworth County Sheriff's Office in investigating the incident.